talk a bit about
but he was humble.
Netflix and ask if anybody's having problems.
Where?
Are we going to start this early, though? Really?
I don't know. There might be some people coming for 9:15.
But here I bring all this stuff down. I never look at it. I've looked at one Netflix thing on my TV.
She's going to find out what's
on. Oh, okay.
I read all the
time. You read all the time.
We have get big. I can see it.
It'll get
too big. Testing, testing. Yeah, actually, I watch with my children as they're getting older. And I'm bored. And they got like a pile of things they could be playing with. And it seems like you guys had a lot more to do when you only had a box or two to play with. Now that you got 1,000 Barbies, you can't come up with a thing to do. It kind of reminds me of Paul's comment about the book versus Netflix. I can't find anything to watch on Netflix. I'd rather read books.
Got
yeah.
Chat room is secret.
Oh, and the chat secret room should be open. Thank you, sir.
It's my job to remind you. We don't want to get you text messages from Alaska today.
We're almost at a go. Yeah, well, he wasn't able to get into the chat room. I guess he's listening to it on his phone.
Yeah.
And he needs a suggestion how to do the chat room at the same time.
No más café, don. No más café. Don Roberto.
Oh, Pete, por favor, por favor.
Por favor, no más.
Por qué, por qué.
Oh, no, they can cry. Oh, no.
Gracias.
All right, we are in the chat room. If anyone is listening, I am in the chat room right now. And I got, what have I got? I've got a list of topics sitting in front of me. I had the chat room sitting in front of me. We're almost a go. The microphone's up. The stream's up. Everything is working like we're professionals.
Tequila, do you have a problem?
Great. And we're like 10 minutes early, so. And everybody's just come to attention. It wasn't my intention to draw everyone to attention so early. Should we get started this early? It's okay with me.
No, let's get started.
Bang, bang, bang. Yeah, all ye, all ye. I don't even know what the correct yell is. This is the San Carlos Computer Club starting almost 10 minutes early. And I'm Scott Stimson, and I recognize everyone at this table. Well, nice to have you all here.
This is Ed.
Except Ed. Sorry, Ed. Nice to meet you. And Rob. Good to meet you, Rob. Good to meet you, Ed.
Yeah, Scott.
So we get together on Tuesdays from 9:15 to 10:15 and try and solve the world's tech problems. Our world being this small community in San Carlos where we live retired and free.
Some of us retired.
It's free range retirement. That's
free
what
range,
it is. So I've come with some topics and some follow ups for stuff from last week.
And I have a shaggy dog story somewhere along the
way. Oh, all right. Is it related to your OS X experience?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well. Let's see. I've got some quick stuff just to shoot off. So I'll get to that, and then afterwards we can just hit Chester's topic and any other questions people have. Last week we had talked about Claro Video. Somebody had brought up.
Ooh. Yeah, that's me.
Yeah. Paul brought it up. Hey, have you gotten any farther on that?
I haven't tried yet, really.
Okay. I did a little bit of follow-up on it this morning because the other day I was working on an Apple TV. And the Apple TV, in a very un-Apple fashion, got an update that rendered it useless. Very un-Apple-ish.
That's how they sell more computers.
Maybe that was it. Maybe it was Apple just saying, just go buy another one. So if any of you are working with an Apple TV and this happens to you, I learned something new. At least the latest generations of Apple TVs have a micro USB port on it, similar to the power port you have on your smartphones, the exact same cable. And apparently this latest firmware rendered a whole slew of them unuseful. That black screen, remote doesn't do anything, flashing LED. I love how Apple makes it as simple as possible. So there's no picture, and there's a little blinking LED. There's no keyboard. There's nothing. No other outputs of this. No sounds. Nothing. I mean, it's just basically a dead brick. It could be off as far as you're concerned if it wasn't for a repetitively flashing light on the front of it. And the only way to save it is to plug it into a computer that's running iTunes. Your computer, your Mac, without a doubt, will see it with no question. Your Windows installation of iTunes, you can run into your standard Windows driver issues where it doesn't recognize the device. So you're fighting with that kind of stuff on the Windows side. But I did it on the Apple side, and so there's no problems with it knowing what an Apple TV that's embedded in the Apple operating system. So that's not a concern. So if you're having problems with the Windows side, you could put it into a Macintosh computer if you have a friend that has one, and then go through the reflash function, which is not hard to do because it's the only thing that comes up. If you go into iTunes with this thing plugged in through a USB device and it immediately sees your Apple TV device sitting there, you've got two buttons, and one of the buttons is low-lighted, the other one is flash the firmware. That requires a 300-megabyte download to come off the Internet, so you walk away from it and get a cup of coffee. And then when you come back, the box looks exactly the same way it was as when you plugged it in. So there's no indication that this has helped you do anything, except that the process is finished. And so when the process is finished, you're greeted with the exact same screen you were before. But then you can unplug it, plug it into a TV set, and it actually works. And so I went through that whole process. I don't own an Apple TV. Somebody gave me theirs to take a look at because it had this black screen. It wasn't doing anything. And when it came back on, it recognized that I was in Mexico. It didn't say anything. I recognized that it recognized in Mexico. I chose English, and it immediately went to the Apple TV menu, which is a beautiful thing if you haven't seen anything. It just navigates really easy, and the remote's really easy to use. And one of the options on it was Claro Video. So I guess that's what I'm getting at, is one of the updates I have to our Claro Video topic is it's available on Apple TV. As far as if you wanted to take advantage of this Netflix competitor that Telmex is reselling, you can use it.
C-L-A-R-O?
Yeah, C-L-A-R-O Video. And it's available on the Apple TV. It took me by surprise, and so I thought I would mention it here. Since I thought we might talk a little bit about Claro Video because of that, this morning I got online to look at Paul's issue to see if it was available. It very much does look like it's available as from the website. Getting into the website was an interesting experience. It automatically identified who I was. You hadn't mentioned that last week.
That was in December, and I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, I was really caught off guard. I went to clarovideo.com, and it said, oh, this is the account associated with this phone number, and gave me the phone number. I'm like, wow.
Well,
so
we'll see what happens right this minute.
Yeah, well, it really... Now, I've mentioned before, my neighbor and I share an Internet connection, so it was his phone number I was looking at.
Wow.
So I'm thinking to myself, does that mean I can take his month for free?
Probably.
Are you going to get Tequila's month for free?
It is not my phone number.
Yeah, it's not your phone number.
Tequila's.
It's Tequila's phone number. So do you get their month for free? if you sign up an account, are they going to be able to get one now? Right?
Our friends signed up for a telephone. It's going to be installed sometime this week. Yep. Anyways, they got the brochure, and it says that Claro is free forever.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She
said it was included, Claro TV, and they got a brochure about what was on Claro TV and stuff.
But
they got the Internet and telephone package.
And how much did they pay for the package?
I have no
It was the minimum.
It was the 389?
379 or 389, something like that.
Well, we'll have to double check on that. Before it was 30 days free, but
so does it come up like on your smart TV? Or?
I don't know. They haven't. Well, they haven't got it installed yet. They were promised it
this week.
And my problem was, I got it all set on my computer. I registered and everything like that. And I get the library of icons for different videos. Mm-hmm. I can click forever on each one. Nothing happens. Never. Nothing tells me how to initiate an actual movie.
Oh, well, and I had the same experience, except I didn't sign up for an account, so I figured that was the reason. But it didn't even give me an error message that I wasn't logged in. It just gave me a blank screen, and then it went back to the playlist.
Yeah. I saw on my screen, Carlos Slim says very quietly, "There is no free lunch."
That popped up on your screen? Uh-huh. Well, I'm curious if this is free for these phone packages, because there was, when it auto-sensed the phone number, it said up in the corner, for Telmex Infinitum subscribers of the $389 and $599 package. And it wasn't clear whether that was intending, this is the 30-day trial, or if this is, I mean, that would be a great offering if you're paying...
Well, this says $69 or 69 pesos a month.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm thinking too. I'm thinking there's an add-on.
Because I didn't accept their free offer. Yeah.
So we need more information on this.
I think that's implicit. Yeah. Uh-huh. You talk to the lady at the phone company. She speaks pretty
good. Does it come in English?
This page, not that I found it.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if it has English, but you're right to ask, because their priority would be, yeah, Latin America, Spanish and Portuguese.
I still think there's nothing free.
I use Roku myself, so I don't know if I even got Claro on.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I've got a Roku, and I haven't seen that channel show up, but the Roku I'm using is relatively old.
And
yeah, and I think your one wouldn't work unless it was set up in the United States before you brought it down here.
That's the way it is.
And mine's either a one or a two, but it seems like I can't use it with Mexican Netflix. Like, it's not an option. If I pull out Netflix, I can't get it reinstalled. If I try and use it after it's set up from the States, it lets me browse a catalog, but it won't bring up videos.
Have you changed your DNS on your router?
Well, that would be mimicking as though I was in the States, and so that would work.
Yeah. That's what I use.
Yeah. But the newer Rokus, like my folks use a Roku 3, and even though it's set up in the States, it's got the Netflix app, and they don't need to change their DNS or use a VPN to access the Latin American offering. That comes right across the Roku without a problem.
I use it for Hulu.
Hulu or Amazon Prime, too. Yeah. Amazon Prime's offering is pretty impressive. But I want to learn more about this. Hey, what is 69 pesos a month now? Even if we were paying that.
$2?
Yeah, it's just pesos, right?
Yeah.
it's just pesos. It's $4 it's $4 at 17 to 1, which is a safe number to use. Wait, does anybody know what the peso is today?
18.65.
Oh, my God. Holy cow.
Yeah. I was about to afford a motorcycle here in a couple of weeks.
Well, and I was hearing where there's this movement in the States now buying gas guzzling vehicles again because gas is so cheap.
Well, naturally.
They never stopped dying.
So it's $3.73 American dollar. Sorry, my Canadian friends.
What's that, $8 Canadian?
We're at 13 to 1 today.
What is it?
13.1, and you guys are at 18.43.
Okay. Wow. We bought a mattress the other day, and I said a week ago it was 1,000 pesos less. And they said, we change our prices at Sam's Club every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
No.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah, well, I've been sitting on a list in Amazon going, I think I'm going to do this for Valentine's Day. And I won't get into the details, but I went back to the list and all the prices had gone up.
Oh.
And these are the peso prices. I've been using Amazon.com.mx because there's just more and more products available. And the peso prices had raised by, almost.
Check it every morning.
Yeah, but I was disappointed because I'm like, aw, don't I have those locked in when I put them in my shopping cart? I just haven't bought them yet. No, you don't.
They're like, she is worth it.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I still did it, but I was disappointed to find that that change in price had come across the board with the peso.
Too bad they don't have Prime down here.
Well, and you can imagine they're going to push towards it. In the Amazon.com.mx catalog now, they're starting to advertise digital content. So if you can buy, like if I could download Star Wars from Mexico Amazon, why wouldn't I at some point be able to watch videos online using the same service? I think it's coming. I think their push is global.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
They want global licensing.
They're trying to take away from Google.
$36 for the part and $38 for the shipping.
Yeah, right. That's right. I love that.
It was well worth it.
Yeah, I did. I had that experience the other day, too. I was looking at a part for a laptop that I couldn't get in Mexico, but I could order it from Amazon in the States. It was a $7 part, and it was going to be like $30 shipping.
Yeah.
I'm like, but you could just put it in an envelope and say Dear Scott on it. It would just go. It's a little thing.
I doubt that you'd ever get next-day shipping in Mexico.
But you know what there is there's very rigid 7-day shipping. That's very obvious, is that there's no competitive. It all comes in the same box and it's strictly 7 days. So you can rely on that. That beats 30 days.
I ordered this part from the States, and it took, from the day I ordered it, it was at my house 4 or 5 days later.
Yeah, well, you know, Amazon is amazing in large municipalities like New York or L.A. or even in Phoenix. They have a whole collection of things you can order. They'll show up 8 hours later.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Same day.
And you see those DHL trucks running all over San Carlos.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
All over San Carlos?
Yeah, they are. And that's why it is. Amazon.
Yeah.
Do you want some coffee?
Sure, I'd take a top up on there.
Yeah.
So, let's see. We just hit Claro Video. Let's move. Somebody sent me a link to Netflix Without Borders. Was that Mike? Did you send it? Somebody sent me that. There's some website out there that is like putting together a petition. I don't know why. Because they don't have any say whether Netflix is doing global licensing, and what they're all they're really doing is just reinforcing what Netflix is saying, is that we're trying to license content globally. And so I guess what their point is that that Netflix is starting to crack down on the VPN usage and the DNS usage. And so
is Comcast cable in the States.
Really? So you were using Comcast online?
I have Comcast in New England, and I'm trying to get into it down here. I actually had to go to your audio voice place, and they were so exhausted. They took everything out and had to start all over again, put an HMA in first, and then I was able to get the Comcast. But, you know, because it says you're out of the country, can't service you. But actually, last night and this morning, it's not working again. I don't know why.
Well, I think this is going to be the new theme for these services. They're becoming much more sophisticated with tracking.
Well, how about the Generation 6?
What's the Generation 6?
You were talking about
last week.
I was?
The new, the multiple, the...
IP, IPv6.
IP addresses, yeah.
You know, this is something that's going to wash over us over years. It's something that's already in place, and it's as equipment is upgraded, eventually we will be moving to it. We've already run out of the version 4 addresses, and so they've already had to deal with pooling those addresses and limiting their access and revoking them quickly so that they can be used somewhere else. But it's not an instant solution.
But what you're saying is, as the Netflix of the world keep getting cut off to show this stuff out, then the hide my asses of this world are going to have to get some cash together and buy the new equipment, right?
Well, yeah, they're going to have to start offering services that allow for IPv6 addresses. And I mean, they're ripe for it. And like I was saying last week, is I suspect that this kind of pressure will pressure those kinds of businesses to get into it quicker. So that's
maybe,
probably
maybe
what
Netflix will buy. Hide my ass.
Can you? That would be that's an interesting perspective. Because what they have to do is they have to put on this public face for their content providers that they're protecting their licensing agreements. So they can't own something like an HMA. They that would be in direct conflict with the relationship they have with the content providers.
With the board of directors.
Right. But at the same time, they not only they're publicly saying we're going to start blocking these services so you can't use your Netflix account as though you're in the United States. They have to come out and say that to protect their content providers. At the same time, they're saying our goal is global licensing agreements so that when we license some content, it's available to everyone in the world. The problem is it's too complicated.
Can they do that on their own by making a contract, or do they have to go through some government regulations?
I'm sure anytime you're dealing with, I mean, I'm not an international business expert, but I'm sure anytime you're doing international business, there's some government regulations you have to go through. Yeah. And it's not hard to imagine that there are government agencies in certain countries that protect the current license holders of that content. So I think that's how you end up, like when Netflix started in Latin America, you would get things. My big joke was you could watch MacGyver, but only in Spanish. Yeah. Right? And the reason something like that happens is because the licensing agreements for MacGyver in Spanish have already been sold in Latin America. So you're not dealing with MGM when you're Netflix. You're dealing with Televisa in Mexico for the rights to show MacGyver, right? And that's where all that comes from, is MGM doesn't have the rights. They don't have the rights to let Netflix show MacGyver in Mexico. Televisa, they've already sold it to Televisa. And I'm making that up. I don't know if it's Televisa or not.
And
that's
it. Like in music, copyrights run out, too. Copyrighted material runs out. It's open for
they're time-sensitive.
Right.
They run out of that.
Yeah. Actually,
but it's a pretty long time.
It's 20 years, I think.
I'm trying to remember. It seems like, at least in the United States, our copyright laws have gotten even more broad. Like, if you can prove... What's that?
I thought it was 7 years.
That's 7?
That's it. Copyright.
It's different.
Copyright is when you're alive. 25 years past that.
Yeah. Wow. Anybody an expert in copyright? I'm not. The more I've learned about copyrights, the more confused I am about them.
You know, last week I asked for information on putting together Netflix My List.
Oh, yes, yes.
And I did that. Man, is that nice.
Okay.
You go on the computer and you line up your movies and then you turn that off and you go over to your TV and there they are.
Yeah.
So that's a recommendation. Put together is it called My List?
I think that's what it's called.
It is.
Yeah, it's called My List. It's over the left-hand corner. It's in red.
Yep.
But that's only on a
and that
TV?
Lets you set up your own playlist.
I do it on the computer.
Yeah.
Put together your My List on the computer, and the computer's in another room. You go turn on your TV, go to Netflix, and there's My List.
That's great. Put together your own
just like the
playlist.
Yeah, it's a cube. Yeah, their disc thing. Yeah.
And well, what are you using to do Netflix? What box do you have it showing up? Or is it just a smart TV you got it coming up on?
No, I'm Ruko 3.
Ruko 3.
With a VPN.
We both just said that backwards, Chester. That's Roku, not Ruko.
Roku. Roku.
But you don't have to have a VPN for that, do you?
Yeah.
What? I have Roku, I have no trouble.
Oh, well, I'm not sure about Roku, but if you want Netflix US, maybe not Roku, but if you want Netflix US, you have to have a VPN.
No, I get Netflix US and
through
I have
Roku.
No,
you know,
Roku. I say without it, if you want to do it on your computer, you have to have a VPN.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I'd be really curious if this My List that you set up with your VPN, if any of your content shows. In if you connected to the Latin American side of things,
well, I haven't.
I don't think it does.
I'm thinking it doesn't as well. It's because it seems like when you go to the Latin American side of things, it's forgotten the things that you've played before, and the recommendations are different to you. Unlike when you return to your U.S. side of things, and it says, "Oh, this is what you were watching before, and here's some things you might enjoy watching." Yeah,
I had an experience this past several days with all this stuff. And it's been mentioned here a couple of times, and I see it a lot this week on Viva San Carlos, that the message board there. Alex's message board. People are starting to complain about Telmex downloaded at 5 and 6 in the daytime and 2 at night.
Oops, sorry.
And it's happening to a lot of people.
Where is it?
I thought it was wrong. To work around it,
I don't know where it is.
I realized that my phone and my Kindle were downloading faster, so I could actually watch television.
I can't find
really?
It. That's your
Yeah.
That's dump me. It.
Yeah.
Oh, dump it.
It is right. So I went out and got another tablet.
Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry, Mike. Go again. Let's try this again.
You're having too much fun over here.
Must be 11 o'clock.
Yeah. No, that was
anyway,
a phone call.
The phone and Kindle are downloading much faster than the PCs. So I could watch Netflix on my Kindle. I couldn't watch it on my Roku, and I couldn't watch it on my PCs. So I went out and bought a tablet downtown last week. This story goes to your office.
I had to finally load
Netflix onto, and I can watch it on there. But the Comcast will not let me do that.
But the tablet, did you get a connection for the TV?
Down, took everything out, started putting it back in with it. Hide my ass first.
Right.
And I put the Netflix in, and the Netflix works. And I got it hooked up to my TV. J&G was fabulous. I went over there the other day. They had everything I needed.
Including the tablet?
No, I bought that at Coppels.
At Coppels, okay. Yeah. And just out of curiosity, what tablet did you get?
1,999 pesos, including the IVA.
But was it a Samsung?
No, it's a TechPad. It's a Mexican one.
Okay.
But they all have the same stats, 1 gigabyte and 16. You know,
16 gigabytes of storage space.
The same. So I said, well, this one is better.
Does it have a HDMI out?
Yes, it's got
oh, that's the way. Okay.
That's why I had to get it, because my phone and my tablet, my Kindle did not have that. That's why I had to get it. It's a small one. Yeah,
It's a micro HDMI.
HDMI. Cord at J&G. A 3-footer or 6-footer. So I got that. And I use a mouse a lot, and I have one with a USB thing on it. I found an adapter for that in the tablet, too. You can just use your mouse with it. So it's a nice little machine. And I'm not sure exactly how it's affected by the low rate at night yet. It doesn't seem to be as much as my computers were.
Now, Mike, do you feel like you tell me your phones are downloading faster than your computer?
My cell phones, I mean, like...
Right, on your Wi-Fi.
Double. Yeah, double.
So...
Double.
And what you've done for Netflix on your TV in the past, you've connected it to a laptop, is that right?
Yeah, in the daytime I can do it.
Right.
At night I cannot do it. Yeah.
That is
and
weird.
That's consistent every day the past 4 weeks.
Well, just the fact that your different devices would have different experiences make me feel like it's
that's
something about your environment.
The generational stuff that you mentioned. And the PCs, I tossed one out. I said, I'm not going to deal with it anymore. The other one was probably 2 or 3 years old.
You know, it could very well be that kind of thing. It could be that you've got so much radio interference in your area, and that the laptops you're using just are of an older generation.
You're doing Wi-Fi. I mean, you're doing Wi-Fi instead of Ethernet.
Around Christmas time, you could have hung bulbs and stuff off on the wall. Ethernet wires I had hanging around the house.
Oh, I've seen that before. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. It's like spaghetti all over Mike's place.
I broke two of the plugs for the Ethernet, two different cords, and J&G fixed each one for 10 pesos.
Oh, great.
Cut it off for a new thing. They're unbelievable. Yeah.
So, did you... I just one other question. Your speed tests that you were having problems with.
I'm doing Ookla mostly.
Did you try it with a with an Ethernet cable?
Yes.
And you still had the same issue?
I had my modem plugged directly to my Roku, and it wasn't working.
That's really odd.
Yeah, very odd, very odd.
Do you have one of the new modems?
Yeah.
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 Well, you've got at least you've got a solution.
Well, there's a new workaround.
Sleep at night. Watch
that. They do say, Telmex says they're going to upgrade.
Paul's got a solution for you, too. You know, a good book is a lot less stressful.
Good book, yeah. Of course, I like it on a tablet.
Hopefully it's not in the cloud if you're at Mike's place.
I have a question about the battery power on Apple, since they came out with the latest 9.21, my battery tends to wear down in 2 hours. I mean, you know, it doesn't have without it even being on. I mean, without it being used at all.
Really?
And I've shut off a lot of stuff, and then I went out online and they said to reset your whole thing. So I did that, and that hasn't really helped.
It hasn't changed it.
How old's your battery?
Well, it is getting up there.
What?
It's a 5.
It's a 5. I've got the 5.
Yeah, but
I haven't done the 9.21 update, so now you're cautioning me.
Well, that's why I'm asking about it, because they want to do it on my iPad now, and I'm thinking if it's going to do that. The iPad, which is even older.
I'm going to make a note here to myself to check into it, because I definitely don't want to have those I already feel like my battery drains too fast, and I think it's because I don't have a very good battery. I think it's an old battery.
Well, you know, if it's a certain generation, you can put in the serial number, and they'll replace it for free, but mine happens not to be... Yours might be.
Yeah, well, I'm going to make a note to research this, because I've been looking at that update going, well, everything's working fine at the moment. I'm not in that big of a hurry to upgrade again, and it's because of stuff like that. So do you have an iPhone 5?
Yeah.
It's an iPhone 5? And you haven't felt the battery?
But do you have a SIM card for Mexico in it? Or you're still...
I have AT&T.
Oh, you have AT&T. I have Verizon, so I don't have that privilege. But I shut off cellular.
Yeah, so Verizon has a Mexico plan. Yeah.
But in addition, it would be in addition to what we have in the States.
You have to pay a little bit of extra, but it's not that much.
Yeah.
And you can call either way. And you can text,
can
too.
You.
Yeah.
Well, you can only text it. You can only text an iPhone.
I could text one.
But it costs 50 cents to text. For me,
I can't remember how many it is, but so much a month.
I haven't noticed that. I'll watch that.
I did the iPad update to 9.2.
9.21?
Well, then right away I got
9.21. Yeah.
So is there caution with 9.21?
Only anecdotal. Only your experience saying that your battery has been draining faster since doing the update.
Yes, it's an iPhone.
Okay, yeah. I'm on an iPad. I'm wondering if there's...
Oh, that's why I'm not updating.
Oh, you're not going to do your update? Okay.
I don't think you're in a hurry.
Okay.
I haven't done any research on 9.21. I just noticed it was out there last week, and I haven't taken any time to really look at it. No, El Capitan is the desktop operating system, and this is on the devices, the iPad, the iPod, the iPhone.
It says it contains security updates and bug fixes.
Yeah, but they always say that. It's like these updates are getting so ridiculous. Like, you know, Facebook, just aside, Facebook and their apps, they have this mandate to iterate every 2 weeks. Mm. So every 2 weeks you're downloading a new version of Facebook. I can't figure out what they're doing. Like they're changing fonts. You know?
Something.
Somebody's buffing the F and making it look pretty in Photoshop and pushing it out there. But every 2 weeks that they...
more and more data from you.
Well, and the frustrating thing is that because they iterate so often now, they're very vague about what they're fixing. I guess that's what I'm getting at, is like before you get a fix, like 6 weeks later you get a fix to something, and it would outline in detail what's being fixed. Now you get and Facebook's not the only one. Because Facebook is so big, this is becoming kind of a defunct standard for app developers to be pushing out iterations, even though they might be nonsensical. And what they in the description, they don't describe what they fixed anymore. They say, security fixes and performance improvements. And that's on every iteration. And if every so often they put out a detailed, almost terms of service that still doesn't detail what they fixed, but explains why it always says performance and enhancements. And it's because they're making changes so quickly that it's just the generic term to the latest version. It's just a bunch of fluff. If you're looking for one of these updates to fix a particular problem, you wouldn't be looking in the documentation around the update. You would basically just be doing the update and seeing if the problem went away. Yeah, or in your case, watching a problem.
Watching your problem exist.
I'll do some searches on 921 and see if other people are having the same kind of problems, because I want to know before I put it into my phone.
Like I said, it's a little bit vague as to whether or not it's the actual battery.
It's just a story.
The first thing I did was I thought the battery was, I need to replace the battery, and then I went out there and found that if you have a certain iPhone 5, you can get a free one, but not having that,
you know the iPhone, there is a what is it called? Let me look for it real quick. There's a background processing thing that I don't remember what it's called. It's something here. Background app refresh.
Yeah, that they're saying is can drain the battery, but that's not on.
You've got it turned off. If you go into settings under general, and you have to scroll down a little ways, and it says background app refresh, and if you go into there at the very top, there's one button, background app refresh, and you can turn it on or off. If it's on, then it lists all your applications and allows you to tune which ones are allowed to run in the background. If it's off, nothing's allowed to run in the background. And if it's on, you may go down that list and you might have one app that is doing something in the background that's just completely draining your battery.
I was thinking it might have been WhatsApp, because my daughter-in-law sends me pictures on that.
Yeah, it could. From my experience, WhatsApp, I mean, at least from 9.2, I have WhatsApp on this phone, and I don't attribute any extra battery drainage. And actually, I'm looking through my background list right now.
How do you find that background list?
It's in general, mm-hmm. in settings under general, and you scroll down a little ways under storage, there's one that says background app refresh. And I'm actually surprised to find, I've got a number of them on. I've got Skype on. I don't know why I have Google Sheets on. I got WhatsApp on. I've got offline maps on. That doesn't need to be on. I got news on. I got Messenger on. Magic Jack on. A game called Harmony. That doesn't need to be on.
Your battery probably just went up, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, I guess that's what I'm getting at. If you got a bunch of things on, you might turn them all off, and just with that one switch, and see if you get a different battery experience. If you've only got a couple of things on, you might leave it on and just go one by one, turning them off and seeing if you have a different experience. You might be able to identify one application that's sucking all the battery.
Something's running.
And if all else fails, go home and get a new battery.
Right.
Yeah. Do they sell them
down here? Well, you know what? They might. Here's another thing I was going to bring up. I've been working on Yuya's smartphone. She's got an old Galaxy S2. They're up to S7 now, which has become meaningless because Samsung is on a mandate to iterate every 6 months with their equipment. So every 6 months, they've got a new phone coming out. And it is like we're going to put leather stitching on the back of this one. So the S7 becomes meaningless. Her smartphone's actually a surprisingly powerful phone that's been orphaned by the manufacturer. They've left an old operating system on it, and they have no intentions of putting a newer operating system on it, even though it has the full capabilities. So this last weekend, I took it on myself to put a newer operating system on it, and I'm really pleased that I have, because it's just opened all this potential on this phone. It's got a nicer flow to it. It's not freezing. It's not giving out of memory errors any longer. It required a lot more knowledge on my part than I thought it was going to. So it's not something that I recommend for the faint of heart. It required reformatting memory in the phone and reassigning jobs in the phone. But when it was done, it was an amazing phone. But she's still got a battery problem. And that's how this relates to your question. So I got on Amazon.com.mx and tried to buy it a new battery, and unavailable. But it was available, an extended capacity battery in the States for $10, but not available in Mexico. So I just sent it to a U.S. post box, and I'm waiting for it to come down. So if you have problems finding the battery down here, it wouldn't surprise me. It would be a supply and demand issue. They do have iPhone 5s in this country, so you would hope you'd be able to find a battery for it. Yeah.
Have we heard Chester's little story yet?
We haven't. Chester, do you wanna?
Yeah, my shaggy dog story has a part A and a part B. you know, we've all been waiting to install Windows 10. It's my turn. And of course, last summer I purchased a new Apple iMac that has that big 27-inch standalone. And at the time, Apple worked with me for hours to get Windows 8.1 working. And I've been running 8.1 on this Apple machine. So last week, we're all going to put on 10, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And so in order to put on Windows 10, my 8.1 had to be up to date and go over to the Apple side, and it had to be up to date. And I had to change the operating system from Yosemite to El Capitan. But in order to change the operating system, I had to know what my password was.
There we go.
Nobody. I had written down last summer what I thought my password was, but it didn't work. And there's no way you can do anything with that computer without your passwords.
And to be fair, you couldn't install, update, do anything on the Mac without the password.
Couldn't change a thing.
Because you run Windows on it 99% of the time, you're not aware what your password was. If you were a Mac user, you'd be aware of it because you can't make changes without the password. But you never use it as a Mac, so it's easily forgotten.
So this part A, I called Apple. And I got to tell you, they have the finest customer service that I know of. They got a lady right away who speaks good English, and she tried to tell me how to do it, and it didn't work. And she says, well, let me go get my supervisor. The supervisor came on, and he walked me through a way to put a new password in my Apple without knowing what the old one was.
To reset it, yeah.
Did he get into your computer?
No, he didn't get in, but he had me. He taught me how to
Russ and I had a great experience with Apple. Well, until we got disconnected, but I think that was as much our fault as it was their fault. Yeah, but we had a great experience working with Apple Mexico, and they had us use a client so that they could get into the computer, not to take control. And he assured me nothing at Apple will take control of your computer. it will just present to you where you're supposed to be pressing buttons. So there's this big flashing arrow that runs around the screen.
That's cool. They can duplicate your screen.
And you're talking to them on the phone, and they're like, you see this button?
Yeah.
Press that button. And so they're actually teaching you how to do this. And the best part about it was when we started the conversation, he's like, well, this is out of warranty. So let's see how much help we can give you while it's out of warranty.
And they're awesome.
Yeah, it was a really good experience.
So this went on for a day or day and a half, you know, so I'm trying to figure out why I can't get all this working. Anyway, I finally was able to download Windows 10, and it took, what, an hour and 20 minutes for it to load up, another hour and 20 minutes for it to come into play, and so, wow, I got Apple's 10. I mean, Windows 10. Except that the screen size, the screen...
The resolution is the word you're looking for.
It was either tiny that I needed a magnifying glass to see that, or if I went to the bottom, it was so bad, I think I had to move all around. Something's not right here. Here goes another whole day of trying to figure out why Windows 10 would not recognize my display, my AMD display card. Well, I worked on this and worked on it. Then I called my favorite guru, my computer guru, a guy named Scott.
I was going to say, who would that be?
And Scott walked me through how to go back into Apple, and there were certain things you do and check and uncheck into...
Well, maybe I can make some sense out of it, because the Macintosh offers a system called Boot Camp that allows you to set up the Mac to run other operating systems, Windows being the biggest preferred operating system. They keep drivers for the Windows operating system, and so Boot Camp is a little application that runs on the Macintosh side of things that gets your system prepared to install the Windows operating system. And part of that preparation is downloading the latest Windows drivers for their hardware.
From Apple.
Because Apple's the hardware manufacturer. They're the ones responsible for providing Windows drivers. Yeah. And sticking it on a USB flash drive or a DVD, something like that, so that when you get into Windows, then you can run their software and set up the drivers.
So I ran that software, put it on an external hard drive, went over in my Windows, and last night downloaded it into Windows. This morning I cranked up the computer and it was perfect.
Now when you go home,
ready to go.
Be prepared.
So that's my dog story.
You were talking about the AMD card. No,
that's the computer.
That's the computer. And unfortunately, in Chester's experience, if you had an AMD graphics card on a generic PC, whatever it may be, there'd be a good chance you could go to AMD and download their latest drivers and install them. That wouldn't work for Chester, because his is a Macintosh graphics card that's identified as AMD when you get into Windows, but it is really first and foremost a Macintosh graphics card. It's been built to their standards, their specifications. Only their drivers are going to make it work correctly. And that's another reason that you wanted to wait to put Windows 10 on, because you wanted to wait until Apple was fully supporting Windows 10.
Are you happy with the 10 now?
Yes, I'm very pleased with it.
I like
it. In what ways?
I haven't fully resolved all of that yet. I think it's an improvement over 8.1, but it's a lot like 8.1. But it's got that voice you can talk to now, and so there's some things on there that I haven't yet explored.
Yeah, I'm curious how that Cortana works off the Macintosh. How well that functions.
There's display things in it that are improved over
8.1. As long as it has incognito browsing.
Well, Chester, now what you're going to experience is probably the Windows update issue.
And
I bet
I know that password.
Well, I don't know if you guys have experienced this. You know, we for years have relied on the second Tuesday of every month to be the update time. And so if you didn't get it on Tuesday, sometime during that week you'd be getting updates. And they could be anything from 7 to 70 updates, depending on what Microsoft has done. Well, I noticed something very strange. Last night, I was still getting updates. And I this morning, I went through the update history to get a feel for what was going on. And I found that I had just last night automatically installed the update from Patch Tuesday, which was 2 weeks ago. So it didn't make any sense to me. And I went out and I researched why this hasn't been installed. And apparently it was installed at Patch Tuesday. And immediately people's systems started freezing. And I looked back through my history and reading articles, because apparently that was supposed to install successfully. But then immediately we were going to have another update. That was without the freezing, without anybody knowing about this freezing issue. That was the plan. As I was reading through bloggers, it's like, yeah, expect this 90. In fact, I got the numbers written down. They're meaningless unless you're doing this research. But yeah, I got the KB 30, 31, 24, 62 update. And they, at the time they were announcing this update, the bloggers were announcing it, they said, but Microsoft has told us in another couple of days we're supposed to get the 63 update, the next iteration of update. And so they weren't quite sure why that was coming out. But sometime in between that coming out and this original one coming out, the original one started freezing people's systems. I, for some reason, got the 63 as the Patch Tuesday update. Now, last night, I got the 62. Microsoft. I found other blogs saying that Microsoft had rollback updates. I also found a whole slew of malicious software removal updates have come out. See, I haven't, since I've gone to 10, I've stopped paying a lot of attention to this, because you have no choice. These updates are going into your computer whether you want them to or not. So being aware of them makes you want to pull your hair out. That's why I'm missing a little this morning. A little more than normal. I guess what I'm saying is I've had two computers doing updates for the last 2 weeks. And I've watched performance pop and lag over the last 2 weeks. And it was only this morning I've become aware of what was going on. It feels like a very large update. Like, I mean, we're talking like 100 megabytes to 300 megabytes. Got downloaded, was determined to be something bad, was replaced with something new that was later determined to be something bad, which was replaced with something old again.
This is automatic.
And all this happened automatically. Yeah. So if you're feeling a lag, maybe that's where your bandwidth constraint is that your laptop, when you're doing a... it's partly in jest, but maybe we're going to find out that some of that's going on, that you're trying to do a speed test at the same time. This thing's trying to download 300 megabytes.
I've done it for 3 weeks.
Well, so have I all of a sudden. I've found out I've been doing this for 3 weeks on two different computers.
Scott, they don't even let you know...
No. What they do is they say there's updates to be installed.
Well, I turned mine off the other night, just for the heck of it. And at that point, it says, you know, don't. It's updating. You know,
right.
It's not going to turn off right away. That was the only indication that I had that it was updating.
Well, and there is a schedule, and in Windows 10, under the notifications, when there are updates to install, it'll flag it as a notification. And if you click on the notification, it'll take you to the settings. And you can choose to restart then, or you can schedule a time. But what's significant is a time is already scheduled. So you look at the time and you see, oh, at 3 o'clock tonight, my computer is going to restart unless I change this.
Yes.
So hopefully it's not doing an important job while you're in bed, because you're going to wake up to it have been
still
restarted.
Yeah.
It will have been restarted. I'm just mentioning it if you feel like you've gotten some wonky behavior out of your Windows 10 computers over the last 3 weeks. I sure have. And it looks to me like there was a falling down on this update thing. It's not very clear, but it feels like that's what's been going on from the articles that I read and things going wrong and freezing and other patches being re-released. And so it's kind of a black eye for this idea that we have to accept all these updates. I'm not fighting against it. I am kind of fighting against this idea that I have to accept them now. Kind of like you're updating your phone to 9.2.1. It would be nice if we could just postpone. Can we just... I know they come out the second Tuesday every month. Can we wait until like the fourth Tuesday of the month before we decide to install them automatically? I mean, let's.
Yeah, so far on the iPad, it's given me a couple of notices, and I keep saying later.
Well,
they wanted to schedule it between such and such hours, too, yeah. And I just kind of put them off again.
In the Apple world, you can put it off indefinitely, yeah. And the pressure that you feel is eventually you're not going to be compatible with things they're doing, and they don't care. If you want to be compatible, upgrade. That's the way they approach it. In the Windows 10 world, it's like, no, you have to take these, and you have to take them when we release them. And the most flexibility you have is when you decide to apply them. But they're definitely taking up your bandwidth, they're downloading. Actually, some of the things that you might not be aware of, we've mentioned it before, is the new Windows 10 update system is a peer-to-peer system.
Is it what?
A peer-to-peer system. Which means that after you've got the Windows 10 updates, you might be part of the system providing updates to your neighbor, right?
That's using up your bandwidth.
And so that could be using up your bandwidth.
So, Scott, now, do you think that this is just because it's a new release that there's a lot of this going on?
Sure.
Later.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully we'll be seeing stabilizations happening. Hopefully that's what we're watching right now. But I don't think this will ever be a perfect process. I think that what they need to do in these respects is they need to identify the people that are on the bleeding edge, that want the updates immediately, that they're enthusiasts that are out there testing this stuff. And they have to recognize normal people that shouldn't have to be dealing with these problems and put them way, way, way at the end of this update cycle so that they've worked out these bugs. So they're not... I mean, I think I calculated it to 500 megabytes over a three-week period that had been downloaded to my computer without me having any control over it.
Yeah.
And at least part of that, two of those, were the same update. One coming down broken and the other one coming down fixed.
Yeah. Hey, Scott.
Yes.
I've got a BlackBerry Playbook that I bought maybe 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
Right.
And it did what it always did when I got it. It worked fine, never balked, never did anything, still does the same thing. And not once over that whole time has it ever been updated. You know, there's nothing going on there with you need to update this and reboot it and all that. That's never happened. What's so unique about that system that's unlike the iPad and computers?
Well, the BlackBerry Playbook is released by BlackBerry, which used to be called RIM, which is a Canadian company that has fallen apart. And so they aren't upgrading stuff like that.
So they're just not...
That's right.
But why is it still working the way it always worked? They're not supporting
good system.
It's a good product. But where it'll be an issue is when it comes to apps in the App Store. Like if you're wanting to add new functionality to it, it just won't be there. You also, for example, say it came with a Netflix app. I don't know if you're using Netflix or not, Gary. But as an example, say you use Netflix on that tablet. Well, Netflix is having to iterate all the time and offer new functions and add new security. And Netflix has to write the apps for all the different devices that use Netflix. So they have to have an Apple iPad app. They have
so
to have
they
it.
Just eliminate this one off the list. And
that's what'll happen is because it's not a well-used platform, they'll just elect not to update it. And this is one of the problems with the smart TVs, too. This is the reason I say smart will go away in TVs, is because it's a whole other platform that a developer has to support. And so it's not inconceivable to have a smart TV that will stop being able to access Netflix because they never bothered to update the Netflix app.
Scott, getting back to his BlackBerry, it would make him vulnerable to viruses, what he's got going on, right? But I know part of your philosophy is that there's so few BlackBerries out there that it's not worth the virus to go find them on tap.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It's the same it's the same mentality behind the Macintosh platform in the past, and it's a kind of a dangerous way to view things, cuz it's considered, the terminology is security through obscurity. Right? That's how they refer to it. It's security through obscurity. It's just so obscure, no one's bothering to hack it.
So when can you start using XP again?
Every other time I shut my computer off, it's, you can't shut this off while it's doing whatever it's doing. And that's never happened with that BlackBerry, right from the day I got it until now.
So it's
never
happened. I have I have a tablet that I use in the motorhome for a dashboard. And it's never really been on the internet. But while I was traveling last month, I took it with me. And I got on the internet with it. And it downloaded 188 updates.
I was just looking for
2 hours.
Well, I think this is a real problem because there's this mentality with developers, this Facebook mentality of iterating every 2 weeks. Every time you turn on a device now, there's a slew of updates waiting for you. And while you were mentioning that, Chester, I was just trying to get into my Google Play Store here just to give an... Yeah, so here I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 applications sitting ready to update. I just updated everything less than a week ago. I got 13 applications waiting to be updated. And I think I've mentioned before in this group, my kids' tablets and my wife's phone with the older operating, not with this update, but with the older operating system, they were rendered useless because I had left their updates on automatic updates. Every time they went to pick up the device, there was 27 updates waiting, right? And that was, even if they weren't waiting, they're trying to use their app. They're low-powered devices. Every time they're trying to use the devices, well, the device is in the middle of downloading updates or applying updates, right? So they weren't getting to use the device because the device was spending all its time updating itself.
Isn't there an option to set the updates for like 2 in the morning?
Well, that's right, and that's what I recommend. If you're using older generation stuff like I am, my whole life is full of older generation stuff, I've got them all set to manual updates now. But that's not the default in this stuff. The default is for all this
automatic.
In Windows 10, yeah, you're in the Windows Store when you're talking like that. And it's not as big of a deal because you don't run as many Windows apps from the App Store as you do, say, an Android device does from the Google Play Store, or an iOS device does from the Apple Store. It's just a different beast. It's not as big of an issue. The Windows 10 updates that will drive you crazy are the ones that you don't have any control over. And that's the issue with
Scott,
Windows 10.
If you download Windows 10, let's say, next month, will all of those updates already be on that, or will it go through the whole thing at that point?
Well, what I can say is maybe. It's maybe. Like a definite maybe.
Yeah.
The idea, what they've preached is that when you do the update to Windows 10, you're doing it with the latest
version
of Windows 10.
Okay.
But they've already had a fiasco with that and had to roll back. You remember we waited for the November release.
Yeah.
And so they rolled all that up into one ball that you could download for installing. And then they immediately being like 2 or 3 days later, removed it and put back the original. And there was some fundamental problem with what they put out there. And I haven't heard any difference. I think they went forward with this is the base release, and then after that you add all the updates.
They let you take care of it.
So I maybe is the best answer I have. Yeah. If they've solved that issue, then maybe you will be getting the latest release with all the updates. If not, then it wouldn't be. It'd be the same experience as in the past. You install the operating system, and there's 200 updates waiting for you. And then you finish with the 200 updates, and there's another 60 updates waiting for you. And then you finish with the 60, and there's another 100 updates waiting for you.
Well, Chester, you just did this, right?
Yep.
And so
Chester's going to be the one to tell us.
were the updates already there, or did it?
Sorry, this was a Windows 7 program in this little app, in this tablet.
Oh, wait, no, we're talking about your Macintosh, though. After you got Windows 10 in.
Yeah.
And you'll have to go and explore this. You'll have to go into Windows Updates, into Advanced, and look at your history. Just make a quick look at the list of updates that came after you got it installed.
All right, I'll do that.
Yeah. Because if it's over 20, I'm going to say
it's not working.
It's not working, yeah. And if it's into the hundreds, it's definitely not working.
What's not working?
Well, this idea that when you finally update to Windows 10,
included.
Yeah. That the updates are included.
You would have gotten the version of Windows 10 from back then.
Way back there.
And the updates are something
like that. Yeah. I'll check
that. Hey, on this update note, I noticed this morning there's an update to Panda. So if you're running Panda as your antivirus, it's probably going to pop up with a message saying there's a newer version of Panda, and it will. I just did it all this morning on this computer, which is, I hope the computer is going to be working for Computer Club, kind of. The only thing you have to do is press a button saying do it.
It's free?
Yeah, it's free. And they've got they've got a web page talking about the updates that you can go to right off of the. And find out what's new. One of the things that I found out that is not free, but Panda is offering a Macintosh version now, and that probably doesn't matter to most of this group, but they're offering a version that will scan iOS devices. So you can check your iPad, your iPod, your iPhone using Panda. So from what I understood, and I was just reading it this morning, but from what I understood, there's a paid version of Panda that you can put into your iDevices.
Is that recommended to have a network security thing on your iPad?
Well, not necessarily. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not the attack vector that Windows is.
Okay.
And the Macintosh is probably more vulnerable than the iOS devices in the aspect that they have not as good of a security model. But in the end, the truth is the iDevices, most people running Android devices and most people running Macintosh computers are running naked without any protection.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, that security of obscurity.
Okay.
The iDevices, the reason they're probably slightly more secure than maybe a Macintosh computer is because it's nearly impossible to get a program into it that hasn't gone through the App Store.
Okay.
And on the Macintosh, you can get it in without an App Store. But what they've done on the Mac side of things is they've locked down your experience. So when you try and install something that didn't come from the App Store, it flashes warnings in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Saying,
you want to really open? Do you want to do that?
Yeah, in fact, it'll say your Mac is configured, you can't install this. And it'll point you to how you can disconfigure that higher level of security and go forward with it.
Hmm.
Anyway, update to Panda. Cody, you mentioned Cody, Bill. I haven't gone much farther with Cody on the PC. But last night, I was working with my brother-in-law. Apparently, there's a distribution of Kodi that you can put on your smart TV. And so he wants me to help do that. I was going through the documentation with it. Apparently, you can stick it on a USB drive. You can stick it into your smart TV. Now, this is significant. I've mentioned that I run Plex, which is a server client system, where you have this computer out there that's collecting information about your media. It's collecting things like album covers, and synopsis and movie posters and actors lists and directors lists. And the other thing that Plex allows you are things like, say you're watching a TV series that you've been downloading. It'll keep track of where you are in the series. It'll keep track of where you are in the movie or where you are in the TV show so that you know, so you can go right back to it. And this model of Kodi is very interesting because all that happens on the computer. That you don't have a server. Your computer is the server. So you don't have two different pieces of it. And if you can do it on the smart TV, well, that's brilliant because you don't have to have another piece of equipment in the mix. You plug your hard drive into your TV set and you run Kodi and you get all the same features. So I'll give you an update on that in the future, too. Apparently, it's through a system called X-Bion, but I haven't figured out how to make it work yet. That'll probably be this week's project. And everybody needs to keep testing their speeds. I was helping Jim with his network last week, and what speed are you getting now? We talked about it yesterday.
when you were over, I was at 16 and a half.
Megabits a second.
Down and...
Three megabits up.
Now, I moved my router, and also Telmex did an update on their system, and I'm getting 20 down and 5 up.
This,
that's from Telmex?
Mind-boggling.
I'm at the very back of the Ranchitos, and I was thinking it could have been because I moved my router. What everybody should be aware of is all electrical devices put out a...
Yeah, electromagnetic field that could be interrupting.
Where I had my router was in between my my new computer, which has a big power supply, and my battery backup.
Well, as well as behind the TV set.
Well, it's an LCD TV. It's not putting out much of a field.
Yeah.
The battery backup and that 750 watt power supply is.
Yeah.
And so I had moved it up, and the next day I had the speed increase. So I went down the street to my neighbor's house, which I knew what their speed was.
Yeah.
They got bumped up 3 megs on down and 2 megs on up, where we have different modems. I've got the newest one. They have an older one.
Did you figure that that was a function of moving the modem or something?
Part of it was moving the modem. Everything is a little faster, but the speed increase was actually through Telmex. My 3 megs, my extra 3 megs.
You guys have fiber optics.
No, that's the mind-blowing thing here. And I think they're going to stop, this is my opinion, but I think they're going to stop offering fiber optics because they've got this thing called UDSL that I've never, I thought we were at the max. I mean, ADSL, for years, they've said our max is right around 8 megabits a second, and we're not going any faster than that. And they have come up with a new technology that's bringing DSL up to 20 megabits a second.
There's a guy in the Bahia right now that's getting 45 megs.
Wait. Through Telmex? That's got to be fiber optics.
It fluctuates on him.
Yeah.
He's getting 45 down. It's not steady. And he's getting 20 up, I think it was.
Yeah, that's got to be fiber optics.
Yes, it is. But it's fluctuating on them. Mm. It doesn't always stay there. Mine's rock solid.
I think before when you would hire that really fast and you were near fiber optics, they would just install fiber optics for you. But now I think what they're going to do is they're going to release these DSL modems. They have been. They've been
just
these new ones.
Modem.
Yeah. It's the modem. Well, it's both sides. It's the modem in your house being the newest modem and the technology they've put on the other end. But it's also tweaking the connection in your circuit. So, Chester, you might investigate this. You might be able to take advantage of this without them installing fiber optics. You may be able to get up to that. That's right. But you're close enough that you may be able to achieve speeds like Jim's getting with the latest modem.
I'd like to be able to do that.
Well, then I've changed my routers too. Both my routers are gigahertz routers, and so are the computers. They're gigahertz modems in the computers, or they're the.
Well, you're talking about the Wi-Fi.
Not the Wi-Fi. We actually plug it in your internet.
Oh yeah, all right. You're The Ethernet, you went from 100 megabits to 1 gigabit. That's the local area speeds.
Right.
Yeah.
Both computers that I'm using are gigabit Ethernet connections. So when I changed to the gigabyte routers, both computers, it's all gigabyte now. So
what are you paying for that 20?
$498, and that's...
No, you're paying $599.
Well, we're all $598.
Yeah. $598,
yeah. Yeah, $590. The packages, if you go into Telmex right now, they've got a flyer that I picked up when I was there the other day, and they've got it broken into three packages, and I've only looked at the... I only paid attention to the first two, because the third one is an insane speed for an insane price. But the first two, the lowest one is $389, and that is 10 megabits, and that's 5 to 10 megabits. And then the middle one is $599, and that's 20 megabits.
That's not available everywhere.
That's 10 to 20 megabits.
That's not available.
Well, that's right, and that's why you need to go talk to him in the office to find out if it's available. I suspect it's available for Chester because of his location. I'm just blown away that it's available to Jim because you live on the side of a hill at the end of the Ranchitos.
I'm in very back, yeah.
Yeah. But to be fair, Jim owns his own telephone pole. So that might have something to do with it, too.
I used to be on F, and F was 3 megs after 8 years. And the house is actually on G, so I called up got the guy out there, Dable, is the tech guy from Telmex, and told him, and he goes, well, you have to have an address on G. I says, I do, my water bill. And he looked at the line, and he goes, well, you're no farther from G than you are from F, because my house is on that end.
Right.
And he goes, you have to put in a pole. No problem. Brilliant. What was it, 1,500 pesos? I had a telephone pole, 500 pesos to have it put in. And they came up and ran the line for me.
Now, the most significant part of your story for me is, how did you know which street you wanted to be hooked to?
Because I know where fiber optic ended at. Fiber optic came down, number one.
Came down First Street.
2G.
2G.
And I was waiting for it to go to F.
And it never will.
And it never did, and it never will.
It never will, yeah.
So I just had to get creative.
But are you running a VPN and still getting 20 through your VPN?
I'm running a DNS redirect. I haven't checked it with the VPN, but yeah, I have a VPN service also.
The VPN cuts mine a good bit.
Yeah, the last time I checked it dropped mine 2 megs, but at 20 megs, I don't care.
Yeah.
And all the TV is like brand new because everything's high definition now.
Yeah.
When he's talking about routers, last week we talked about the router being in that new modem.
Right.
So do you need extra routers besides that?
No, not necessarily. Jim, you need a network map to work at Jim's house. He's got extenders and routers, and the whole house is wired. And
no,
he's lucky to be alive.
Modem router. For my house, it's two floors, so all I'm using is the modem for the modem, and then I go into a real high-powered net router. And then I go down to an ASUS router on the bottom floor.
I hardwired mine.
Yeah, mine's hardwired, but I have a bunch of devices in all the rooms. I'm running two Rukus and a Sony streamer in three different rooms, two TVs, a network server that will broadcast through the whole house anything I want to watch.
I had already charged him a half hour by the time he got done describing everything he had in the house.
I'm actually amazed about Chester.
But
Chester.
It works great.
You've out-Chestered Chester. That's great.
I said he's out-Chestered.
Oh, he's out-Chestered.
It's a term we use. Oh, that's a Chester. It's a verb.
That's right. Well, an adjective. Did you Chester that?
Does anybody mirror screen or screen mirror?
The Mirrorcast, is that what you're talking about?
Yes, Mirrorcast.
The Microsoft product for...
It's built into the... Roku's doing a beta on a...
Oh, no, I don't know what we're talking about.
It's called screen mirroring on on the Roku, you go into systems and you'll find it in there somewhere.
Oh, okay.
But it doesn't work with 10. I just wondered if anybody had ever tried.
Doesn't work with Windows 10.
No.
No, I think some of us are familiar with using a Chromecast, doing that kind of screen sharing, but not with the Roku. And I wasn't even aware that they were doing something. And it's not compatible with Windows 10. Microsoft does one too. If you can buy a TV that has a Miracast, I think is what it's called.
You can buy those dongles too. But
yeah. And that works natively with Windows 10.
Because when I first set my Roku up and I put my Windows 10 in, it worked for a couple of days. And all of a sudden it doesn't work. It won't connect. But it worked good. I could do my old computing right on the TV.
Right.
But it's in the Roku app, or in the. If you go into Roku systems, you'll see it where it says you got to just click it on, and then you just go into.
That's you know my in-laws have a Samsung flat screen that has this sharing, and my brother-in-law shows up over at my mother-in-law's house. And he's got some videos on his phone he wants to watch, and without missing a beat, just bam, bam, and it's casted right over to the TV set. We're watching HD video right off his phone. And he doesn't have to set anything special up. Just see, he gets into the Wi-Fi hotspot and sees the TV right there. Yes, and just
that's the same thing I started out with. When I first saw it on the Roku, I went and set it up. Worked fine for a couple of days, and all of a sudden it kicked me off, and now it says there's no updates available for Windows 10.
Is that the name of it? Mirror?
It's called screen mirroring.
Screen mirroring. Screen mirroring.
On Roku, it'll tell you how to set it up.
On Roku. I'm just going to make a note and check that out.
It works with 8.1, but it won't work with 10.
Can I ask a quick question?
Absolutely.
I got to go somewhere.
I don't know.
I have an AirBook, and the last time I brought the charger and not the AirBook. This time I brought the AirBook and not the charger.
Okay.
And it's a MagSafe too. Is there any way to get?
Well, there is an Apple store in Hermosillo.
There's nothing and no chance in Guaymas to get in.
Well,
there's
no demand for it.
Yeah,
so,
I know, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a real hit and miss. I know a place like JG's could order it for you. And so they would have it in a day or two because it is available in Hermosillo.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's your best bet at this point. Oh, you might get on Amazon.com.mx. It'd be here in 7 days.
Yeah, might try that.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Enjoy it.
You're welcome. That's actually one of the advantages of what they've done with the latest products is they've made the power source a USB-C connector. And because it's USB-C, it'll be a standard. It's not a standard yet, but it will be a standard that we'll find everywhere. And so when that happens, then you could just buy any charger off the shelf and charge it. Well, we've successfully gone 10 minutes over. We started 10 minutes early, so this has been a pretty long computer. Thank you guys for joining me.
Thank you.
You are.
I have a confession.
Yeah.
We did have to replace that hard drive on that HP the first summer that we bought it. We bought it in January, and that summer I had to be in touch with HP, and they sent me a new. They took my computer, I sent it away, and they sent it back with a new hard drive.
A new hard drive.
So it's not the original one.
But it could easily be from the original batch of parts that they used, and the fact that the first one had a problem, and that it's HP.
It's an old one.
Doesn't surprise me that you might be having problems.
I've never heard that term.
Exactly the same problems.
I like it.
Would that second hard drive have been the same
warranty? From the time that you replaced it, it would. It'd have your standard warranty. Yeah.
Okay.
From the moment it was replaced, you would have gotten their warranty.
I think it was last summer.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you, Dak?
I'm pretty good. I'm getting ready to launch something.
Okay.
But another question. Robin's daughter is here. She's trying to download some movies or something.
Okay.
But, you know, she couldn't get it known. I don't know. What, you know, she's at a different IP address here.
What is she using? Like Netflix? She's in Rome or something like that?
She doesn't know. I was trying to tell her about that Amazon Mexico.
Oh, is it Amazon that she's trying to use?
She was trying to do that.
Okay, she won't be able to do it.
No.
Not without a VPN.
Oh, okay.
That's the only way to do it.
Okay, that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
Oh, so, thank you, Chester. I appreciate that. Wow, that's great. Thank you very much.
I'm going to get ready to do something.
A dumb question.
Yes, I hope they are, because those are the easy ones to answer. They're my favorite.
Okay. She brings this up. By the end of the conversation, we were people that have...
These are the Facebook notifications.
Yes.
Okay.
Can you
things in there? Yeah, there's not. What are you paying? Da, 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 da.
Yep.
Well, hell.
How do you or can you erase this?
You can't.
You can't.
No, this is just a running history of all the updates.
It stays there forever.
Yeah. Yeah. If you needed to go back through your, unless Facebook has a like outage or some screw up with their servers, their intention is for this to be an ongoing history of notifications that you could reflect on. Now, one thing I do mention, I notice on your tablet though, is these are all tablet notifications.
Yeah.
And if you pull down, here they are. And these can be cleared with that button right there.
Yes.
If you're not aware of that.
Yes.
And each one of those takes up a little bit of memory in the tablet.
Right. Nobody now, died on the street. Of course, this is the voice.
Okay.
I don't do much with it. I just bring it with me when I come over because she won't come.
Okay.
And I try to find out something for her to keep her happy.
Is there a reason that she wants to get rid of this?
My wife will get rid of everything, like her email.
Okay.
There's nothing on it. When she's finished reading it, just click, it's gone.
We call that inbox zero.
Yeah. Inbox zero. She can't understand mine. I get up in the thousands. I don't care. They're in the cloud.
That's right. And that Facebook stuff is in the cloud as well. So it's not affecting the capacity or the performance or anything.
She just isn't willing to accept it. So put it that way.
All right.
You met my wife.
I'm sure I did. I'm having trouble placing her at the moment.
I've been writing since I was 8 years.
She was. She got to what was it? Windows.
They haven't been flying. Oh, it's only at 20 miles per hour speed.
Way before XP.
Okay.
And she loved it. She kept that till she couldn't possibly use it anymore.
Okay.
And she's never really liked anything since.
Probably Windows 7 is what she was
I think
using.
It was. Yeah. Oh, she had Windows. No, this was long before Windows 7.
So it'd be XP then.
15
huh?
years now.
Yeah.
We had a bed and breakfast.
Okay.
And she did all the reservations on the computer and that kind of thing. And she had this old, I don't remember what the heck it was, but like I said, it was long before XP. She just doesn't want to adapt. She figures it should come back.
Well, you should bring her along.
I try.
Yeah.
No. She says I go over there and I don't understand the thing. She's been here a couple of times.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week.
For sure. Get it in the cafe.
No, I'm okay. Gracias. Pero tengo que terminar este. This has been the San Carlos Computer Club here at Tequila's. We meet every Tuesday. Okay. We're here every Tuesday from 9:15 to 10:15, and we do our best to try and broadcast live so you can listen to it off our website at sccclub.org or as a podcast. We record it and publish it. You can find it in iTunes if you search the San Carlos Computer Club, or you can find it as blog posts at our website and the address I just mentioned, sccclub.org. I'm Scott Stimson with International Computer Solutions. We have a computer shop here in San Carlos, and if you have computer problems, I'd appreciate it if you'd get a hold of us. You can reach us through our office at 226-0209 or our website, internationalcs.net. Or you can reach me through email at scott@internationalcs.net or through the clubs, scott@sccclub.org. Thanks for joining us, and we will see you next week, or you will hear from us next week. Tech on. Bye.